Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service this morning. Let me introduce myself. If you're new or visiting, I'm Pastor Kieran. I'm the pastor of Worship and Missions. And we're in a summer series. We're calling it Why This Matters. And so each week we're taking a look at a different this, why this particular aspect of our discipleship or why this particular thing that we do as a church matters. And so the things that we've chosen to do intentionally. God has called us as a church, we believe, to make disciples who discover Jesus, who demonstrate his life, and who duplicate his faith. That's basically just kind of a shameless plug for how we feel, how we kind of want to talk about making disciples. And so each of the this things that we're going to be talking about are things that we believe help us accomplish what Jesus has asked us to do. Bob talked about last week about prayer. How is prayer important? Why does it matter to be praying for those that we're sending out, like the Cambodia missions team? Why is prayer matter for our devotional lives to communicate to God what our desires are? And so what we hope to gain from this series is that each of us would know or be reminded of why these things matter, how they affect our discipleship, and how they affect the discipleship of those that these ministries seek to minister to. And so last week, as I said, was the commissioning of the missions team. They'll be leaving on Wednesday of this week, as Chris mentioned. And what Bob did was he took the opportunity to talk about prayer, why it matters. And what we were reminded of is essentially that it matters. But the picture that he gave us, or the image that he gave us about prayer, is almost as though we're sending out people on behalf of our church. It's like we're sending them over the edge of a cliff to rappel down. Or we're sending them into known risk, whether it's physical or spiritual. And that when we pray for them as a church, it's like we're holding the rope for them. We're kind of keeping them on the line. And so one of the things I wanted to do is to remind us this morning, again, as the missions team's leaving this morning, that we need to be praying for them. We need to be lifting them up in prayer and holding the rope for them. I could speak to a lot of different things that have been happening the last couple weeks in the lives of the missions team, just in how there's been some spiritual opposition in their lives and things that are happening, and we just need to be lifting them up in prayer. And so if I could remind us this morning, you can grab a prayer card for the individual team members on the missions board at the back. A lot of them are here this morning. If you know who they are or you see their pictures, you can flag them and just say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." But we definitely need to be lifting these people up in prayer as we anticipate God's going to do an amazing work through this missions team and through what they're doing. And so this week, what we're getting to look at is short-term missions. We're kind of on a similar line, why short-term missions matter. And if you're like me, you'd probably hear that and be like, well, short-term missions, really, does that matter a lot? That's just a program. I don't see the phrase short-term missions in the Bible. And one of the things that I just wanted to highlight and set a foundation for our message this morning is that, yeah, short-term missions is a program. Short-term missions is a program. It is a strategy that we use to demonstrate a heart that God has called us to demonstrate and to share. And so the program or the strategy that short-term missions isn't really what matters about short-term missions. What matters is the desire and the heart that's behind it. And so, really quickly, this desire is to see, to be obedient when God says to go. We desire to see lives changed in the people that we're going to serve. We desire to see lives changed in the people who are going. And we desire to encourage missionaries who are on the ground. And so what I want to do is just kind of prime our minds with some of the scriptures, some of the biblical passages that have formed what we're going to be talking about this morning, why this is important, why we desire to see these things happen through our short-term missions efforts. And so if you have your Bibles, you can flip to Matthew 28. All I'm going to be doing is just reading through these and just pulling out one principle, one thing that we can remember for these three verses. So Matthew 28 verses 19 to 20, very, very significant passage. This is Jesus' last words to the disciples. This is what he says. It's on the screen behind me as well. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the very end of the age." So really quickly, the principle here is that Christ has commanded to us to go and to make disciples, not just of our surrounding area, not just of the place that we reside, but of all nations. The next passage, if you want to flip to, is Acts 1. It's verse 8. And it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Just really quickly, one of the reasons that we are Christians here, that we have a church here, is because people took these things seriously in years and centuries before us to actually go out and to make disciples. And so we are the product. We are, at the time that this was commanded, we are actually the ends of the earth. Canada was like probably as far away as you can get from Israel and Judea and Jerusalem. So the third passage, Romans 10, 14 to 15, you can flip there as well, and it's on this screen behind me. Actually, you marked the wrong passage here. So it says this, "How then will they call on him who they have not believed, and how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? How are they to hear without somebody preaching, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And so, again, the principle I want to pull out of this is that God has instructed, or there's some sort of onus that's placed on his church to be a sending place, to be a place where we're proclaiming the gospel, and not just in our local setting, but in a global setting. And so this morning, here's what I want to take the time to do, is I want to look at five reasons. Actually, sorry, it's four reasons why short-term missions matter. And then we want to ask the question, okay, well, if it matters, how do we do that well? And then lastly to say, okay, well, so what? How does this affect me? If this matters, if this is how we do it well, how do I be a participant in that? How do I reflect that heart that God has for me to reflect? And so before we do that, just quickly, as we talk about short-term missions, I recognize that a lot of us would have some preconceived ideas about what short-term missions are, what they aren't, and that could color what we're hearing this morning. And so there's two myths that I want to just take a minute or a few minutes to just kind of dispel or just to talk about. And so myth number one is that short-term missions aren't important because they've only really been around for 20 to 30 years. And so this is probably true if you define short-term missions as getting on a plane, spending 2 weeks in one location, on a missions field, returning home, short-term missions in that picture, that definition, hasn't really been around for long. We don't see the phrase short-term missions in the Bible. We don't see people getting on planes and going places and coming back right away. Partly that's because of our technology. But here's what I'd rather define short-term missions as. And if you define short-term missions as going with the intentional purpose to share the love of Christ with people who don't know Jesus, or even missionaries that we're desiring to bless and to equip and to come alongside, going to serve, then yeah, short-term missions has been around for actually a really long time. We'll actually look at a couple passages, if you want to flip to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3, where we see under this definition, people being sent out to do a specific task for a specific amount of time for the gospel work. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, says this. Paul is writing to Timothy, and Timothy's a friend of his. He's a ministry companion. And it says this, "I urged you when I went to when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith." And so Paul is writing to him saying, just stay there for this time to set this up so that the gospel work can happen there, so that a church can grow and be established. And so Timothy was instructed to be in a place for a set amount of time for a specific purpose related to the gospel work. Another example of this, if you want to flip to Philippians 2, verses 25 to 28. And Paul is writing to the church in Philippi at this point. And this is what it says. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. And so if I stop right there, what has happened is the church in Philippi had sent this guy, Epaphroditus, to Paul for his need, to whether it was to encourage, whether it was to equip, it doesn't really say, but it was for the need of Paul and for him to minister. And so we'll continue on here. It says, for he has been longing for you and for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice in seeing him, and that I may be less anxious. And so Epaphroditus has been sent by the church in Philippi to come alongside Paul to help him with the needs that Paul had, and ends up getting sick and probably couldn't make the journey home. And so Paul says, he's getting better. I'm excited to send him back to you. And I'm ultimately going to be less anxious because I feel like he got sick and almost died while he was in my care. And so what we see again is Epaphroditus was sent by the church in Philippi to help Paul with the gospel work. Specific amount of time, specific purpose, and always had planned on returning home and then was sent back. And so when we define short-term missions as journeys with intentional purpose, purpose is to be ministers of the gospel, we see this happening in the early church. Our problem, I think, is that we see things like air travel or two-week vacations, going from one culture to another, and we define those things as what short-term missions is. And those happen to be kind of components to how short-term missions is played out in our context, in our culture, that we have air travel, that we have time that we can take off and come back. But ultimately, the heart and the purpose behind it is to reach people. The second myth that I just want to dispel or kind of discuss with you guys is that short-term missions, they don't help people that we're actually going to. They only help the people that are going. Many short-term missions trips, I will admit this, many short-term missions trips can do a lot more harm than good. How we do short-term missions and how we gauge and transfer from one culture to another and share the love of Christ is really essential that we get it right. And it's been done poorly in the past. It's currently being done poorly by lots of organizations. And we want to just make sure, okay, if this is important, if sharing the love of Christ in other cultures and other contexts is important, okay, how do we do this well? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But the other side is this, yes, there is huge impact in those who are being sent. We unashamedly anticipate that the team that we're sending to Cambodia is going to be radically affected by what they see and what they experience. And I think God's going to grow and change their capacity to love people in other parts of the world. I would hope and anticipate that as they return, that love and that capacity to love people is going to spill over into their context here, into engaging people in their community. But we also desire that God would work in the people that we're going to. And so we need to be asking the questions, is God working through our team? Is there fruit being born in the places that we're going? And so that's part of how we do that well. But I, firsthand, having been on a few and led a few short-term mission trips, there is amazing fruit that God can do in a short amount of time. And so I think we have a bit of a taste or just kind of a little bit of a foundation of why this is important, but I want to just talk about four reasons that I think this is essential for us as disciples, essential for us as a church. Why does this matter? Number one, we need to be obedient to do what God has called us and asked us to do. This one's pretty self-explanatory, that Jesus has commanded us in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. He's said in Acts 1 that we would be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And this isn't something that was exclusive to certain disciples or to certain churches or to certain people. this was something that God kind of broad stroke, or Jesus broad stroke, and said, this is something that we all need to be a part of. And so that he said we would actually be his witnesses. And when I think of what a witness is, it's really just accounting for what Jesus has done. In a courtroom setting, you're saying, okay, well, this is what I saw happen. And so as witnesses of Jesus, what we're witnessing to is the work that he's done in our lives. This is what God did in my life. This is how he's changed me. This is how he's transformed me. And as we share that with people, it's not a confrontational way. It's just sharing the love of Christ, sharing what he's done in us. And so as the church, I think we need to get serious about what Jesus has equipped his church to do, making disciples. I love to see how we've been engaging in short-term missions and in praying for missionaries that are long-term. It's just fantastic to see how the heart for missions, the heart for the not just missions, but reaching people that are outside of our area has grown in our church. And so we need to be obedient to what Jesus has asked of us. Second reason that we have is just why this matters is that there's a huge potential for discipleship. I really think that ultimately what we're doing is we're making ourselves available to God. We're making ourselves available for him to use us. And I think that when we engage in short-term missions, when we engage in his heart for the world, I think there's a huge potential for him to do amazing things. And so the first, I think there's two folds to this. I think the first, as we mentioned, is for those that are going. I think that when we remove ourselves from one culture and implant ourselves in another culture for even a short amount of time, that God is able to do amazing things in our hearts as we do that. We've had, just a kind of a testament to this, the last 3 years we've sent 3 teams to Ecuador. And I know of at least 2 people who have come back from those experiences saying, I think I need to explore kind of being a career missionary or a vocational ministry or vocational missionary and engaging more in long-term missions. God does an amazing work in the people that go on short-term missions. The second potential for discipleship, and this is essential, is that those that we are serving overseas, so those that are receiving, whether it's the missionaries, whether it's church members that are over there, or whether it's people that don't know Jesus and we're trying to share the love of Christ with them. And so I think this is the lie, or the thing that we naturally believe, is that, how could something happen in such a short amount of time? How could God work in only a short 10-day time span or 2-week time span in the lives in a meaningful way in the people that are overseas? And like I said, I can't begin to express how much of an encouragement this church has been to people like Mark and Cheryl Schaefer, who are missionaries who at a later time in life, in their late 40s, began to plan to leave and sell everything and go and serve. And how our church has equipped them and prayed for them and supported them. They're just in love about. They're just so thankful for how they've been supported and how they've been blessed. And so, as well as Bill and Alana Labazu in Cambodia, we're sending a team to them this week. And we sent Bob and Corrine to be a blessing to them, as well as many other missionaries earlier this year, and to hear how thankful they are for that and how much of a blessing that was is huge fruit in the kingdom of God. So one of the things that we were able to do in Ecuador, just another example of this, is that we were able to run kids programs for different communities. And so this was a lot of fun, but there was a longer term significance behind what was happening, what we were trying to see happen. And what we found is that, or what Mark and Cheryl found, was that there's lots of these communities that don't have anybody that believes in Jesus. And so one of their strategies, one of the things that they do is they want teams to come and to do short-term missions, or to do like vacation Bible schools with the kids of these communities. And what they would find is that as you communicate a love for these kids, the parents and the adults of the community would all of a sudden kind of be disarmed, that barriers would be torn down. And what it would allow for down the road in a longer-term way was for the church, for missionaries like Mark and Cheryl to come alongside them and say, hey, this is why we love your kids. It's because we believe they matter to God. It's because we believe they're important. And so with Ecuador, for instance, I think one of the things, I was even talking to Chris this morning about, I think probably I did a little bit of a poor job of talking about what the intent was behind Ecuador. It was never to really fully build a building or to construct something and go and come back. The heart behind being involved with a place like Ecuador is always relational, that we desire to form relationship, to share the message of Jesus through our efforts. And there's been huge fruit that's come out of that. And so God can do an amazing amount of things in a short amount of time. There's a huge potential for discipleship to happen. The third reason why I think short-term missions matters, why it's important, again, keeping in mind it's the heart behind it that we want to reach people, but there's a huge potential for evangelism. God can communicate through a team his love for them in just such a short amount of time. And I think part of the problem, the reason why we're like, well, this isn't super effective or evangelism isn't super effective, is because we view it through our cultural lens. And so, for instance, Canadians, on average, I think are kind of hostile towards religion, towards faith. Anything that would be claimed to be an absolute truth or the truth, we're initially apprehensive about. Maybe not us, but those who don't know Jesus. And so I think here, many have a hard time believing in a God, let alone believing that Jesus is God. This just isn't the case in many parts of the world. I have a friend in Turkey. He's actually been here and spoken when he was on home assignment. He's a missionary. A big part of his role is sharing Jesus with people. He goes and builds relationship with people in Turkey and just shares Jesus with people. And what he finds, nobody in Turkey doesn't believe that there's a God, but they don't believe Jesus is God. And when he communicates, this is what Jesus has done. God has sent his son to die on the cross for your sins so that you don't have to worry about a day of judgment, about whether the good outweighs the bad. And there's a desperation in them to say, oh, if only that were true. If only that were true, that there was a God that loved me so much to die on my behalf. And the biggest resistance that they face is that it's the biggest sin in the world to believe in Jesus. And so so when we look at things like that through our cultural lens, or when we look at evangelism in other parts of the world through our cultural lens, it just doesn't match up well. That people are longing for and looking to hear about a Savior that loves them to save them. And so the fourth thing that I just want to talk about is that it develops, short-term missions matters because it develops essential culture in our church. And it develops a heart that begins to resemble Jesus. Last week, I was thinking about this, and God's capacity to love people compared to mine. God is obviously God. He's able to love people in every, like he does love people in every part of the world. I have a hard time conjuring up, if you just kind of name country off, a loving feeling towards them. I don't have a relationship with them. Part of that's because God is capable of loving everybody. We're limited to our human capacity. Another part of that is due to the sin nature in me, that I don't necessarily love people like God loves people. I'm concerned about the people that are in my immediate circle or the people that are close to me. Naturally, I'm not bent towards loving people outside of relationship or outside of people that I don't know. And I think when we engage in God's heart, when we say yes to God, when we make ourselves available to him, I think what he does is he develops a heart in us. It develops a desire in us to love and to extend our reach and to go and to serve and to pray and to support any efforts that seek to reach people for his kingdom. And so the most important part of this, I think, is that we establish a posture that says yes to what God brings before us. This posture affects every part of our discipleship and our walk with Jesus. And so short-term missions matter, I think, because it's a strategy to fulfill the call that Jesus has put on our church to go and make disciples. And so we kind of said it matters because there's a huge potential to share Jesus. It matters because there's a huge potential to disciple people, whether it's people that are on the team, in the church, or on the ground. Jesus cares for people in other parts of the world, and we desire to care for them as well. And it matters because we desire to be obedient. And so I was kind of joking about using this this morning, but there's a line from Spider-Man: with great power comes great responsibility. And I think short-term missions is kind of like that in some ways, that there's great potential for God to do amazing things, and at the same time, there's great risk for things to go terribly wrong. There's a huge responsibility to do missions, short-term missions, well. And so the question that I want to ask now is just, how do we do that well? If we have this opportunity and this potential to see fruit happen and to see things happen because of our efforts in engaging in this heart, then how do we do that well? And so, like I said, there's no doubt in my mind that short-term missions has been done poorly in the past. And so I just want to go through three principles. Here's the things that we look at when we engage in short-term missions. And this is what I think that it looks like, or some of the questions that we need to ask to do it well. The first one is that we need to actually help. If you looked at this, I'd be like, well, that's kind of an obvious one. Of course we need to help. This can actually be tougher than it's said. Often with best intentions, we can do a lot of damage to the gospel work. In order to actually benefit, one of the things that we need to do, let me explain this a little bit. There's a book out there called When Helping Hurts. It's a fantastic book about, with best intentions, we create bigger issues because we're taking one culture and we're applying it to another. And there's a lot of work and thought that needs to go into communicating a gospel message in a different culture. And so there's a lot of things that we can do poorly. What we do in order to see this, to make sure that we're actually helping, is we always look to the missionary and to the local church that we're going to serve. And so we look to establish partnerships with missionaries who are part of the culture, who have a high awareness of how outside help can be an encouragement rather than a hindrance. Second thing that we can do in order to prepare well, or to engage in short-term missions well, is to prepare well. And so we really stress this on our teams, that they would go actually as a team, praying for each other, lifting one another up, bearing one another's burdens, that they wouldn't be meeting as they get on the plane, but there would be months of just prayer and investment and relation building that happens. This can mean knowing about the culture, knowing about the language, asking the question, how are we going to fulfill the role that is asked of us to fulfill? How are we going to best engage in what the missionary is asking of us, the local church is asking us, ultimately what God is asking of us? And so these are all a part of good preparation. The third thing I think that we can do in order to do well is to allow for discipleship. One of the things, the huge things that we need to make sure of, is that if there's people that we go to that desire to come to Jesus and they've committed their lives to him, is there any follow-up? Is there any way for them to engage in their discipleship and their growth and their walk with Jesus? And so just as an example of how this is working, the Cambodia mission team that's leaving this week, they're going to be having, each of them is going to be kind of assigned to three or four different Cambodian people and work on developing their English. And through that relationship that they're going to be building, our team is going to get to share their faith with them, share the gospel with them. Some of them are Christians already, some of them aren't. But for those that we anticipate that God will stir in their hearts to walk with him, to say, yes, okay, I want to follow Jesus, I want to serve him. For those, there's a local church there, there's a missionary that's working there to come alongside them, to get them plugged in and engage in their faith. It's not something that we're just kind of going there for and leaving, that there's follow-up that happens. So those are three reasons, or three things, principles that we want to make sure that we're doing missions well, let's ask the big question. Yeah, so what does this really matter? We've asked a few different questions. Why this matters, which is really a kind of like a so what? Why does short-term missions matter? How do we do it well? But what impact or what change does this make in my life? And I think some of us look at this ministry. We look at different ministries or different things that are important for us as disciples and say, you know what? I'm just going to leave it to those people. They're passionate about missions, or maybe I'm even passionate about missions, but this just isn't for me. I think that a lot of us count ourselves out before, like, I've heard lots of people say, oh, you know, I'd love to do that, but it involves this, and so I can't do that. And I think God stirs in our heart a lot of the times a desire to serve, a desire to engage, a desire to go, and we immediately stamp it out and say, oh, I'm not equipped to do that. I can't engage. Moses was an example of that. God said, I want you to do this. You're going to lead my people. And Moses said, I can't talk. I can't speak publicly in front of people. And he argued with God saying, don't make me do this. And so he ended up getting Aaron to be a spokesperson, at least for the beginning of that relationship, as Moses led God's people. And so my desire isn't for any of us to count ourselves out as Moses did. I think God asks us of things, and we only need to make ourselves available to him and allow him to work out all the things that we're worried about or we're stressed about. And so Moses is an example of this. Somehow we can buy into the belief that certain ministries are for certain people. I think really that this heart for missions, this desire to reach people in other parts of the world, this isn't something that we can pick and choose what parts of God's heart we want to reflect. That when it comes to missions, when it comes to a love for people in other parts of the world and enabling that, empowering that, that's something that all of us need to ask, how does God want me to be involved in that? And so in our church, we have three gateways that we say, this is how we want to engage in short-term missions. We see this biblically. We want to see prayer happen. We want to be praying for those that we're sending. We want to be praying for long-term missionaries who are on the ground. We want to be praying for the people that we're sending people to. We see this happening in the Bible, that Paul was asking for prayer. And so this is one of the ways that I think God will begin to shape our hearts towards loving and caring for those in other parts of the world. The second gateway is to give, whether that's of your time or your finances, and to say, hey, well, because I love these people, because I want to see people come to Jesus, I can do this. I'm going to support it. We had a bunch of different community groups or people this year who helped run the Aeration fundraiser, just because they wanted to be involved and participate in what God was doing with the Cambodia missions team. And so the third gateway is to go. Now, this is the one that I think we most count ourselves out of without really asking whether God is asking us to go. We've either closed our ears and said, okay, I won't go. Even if God asked me to, I'm not going to listen. Or we've had the desire to, but we've felt like we've been inequipped to. And so with all of these gateways, with all of this, I think we need to have a posture of availability. Where Isaiah came before, he had a vision of God sitting on the throne, and he said, here I am, Lord, send me. God had asked, who will go for me? And he said, here I am, Lord, send me. What would it look like if every single person in our church had this available posture? Okay, Lord, if it means prayer, let me pray. If it means giving, let me give. If it means going, let me go. What kind of impact would our church, would our congregation have in the kingdom work outside of Cold Lake, outside of Canada? I think that's beginning to happen. There's that each one of us, there's an individual decision we need to make to say, okay, Lord, I am available to you. I will make myself ready to do what you ask me to do. And as a congregation, as a church, I think we desire to make ourselves available to what God brings before us. The benefit, the growth, what God would do through our congregation is huge. I honestly think that as we engage in that heart for people outside of Cold Lake, outside of Canada, that he re-engages and that heart and that desire spills over into our local setting where we say, okay, Lord, how do I make myself available to serve? How do I make myself available to reach my neighbors, to reach people that don't know Jesus? I just see Jesus wanting to make his name known among the people of Cold Lake, among the people of Canada, among the people of Cambodia, of Ecuador, of wherever God would lead us to go. And it takes us being intentional, being sacrificial, and available to what Jesus asked of us. And so that's my prayer for us this morning, is that that God would allow us to do that, that we would go from here and individually say, okay, Lord, where do you have me fit? Is praying, is giving, is going? How do you want me to engage? I think that in some ways, it's not just one or the other. All of us need to probably be doing all of these things at some point. But there's some that can't go. I'm not saying that everybody should go, but there's some that can't go. But ultimately, making ourselves available to what God asked of us. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to learn a little bit more about what your heart beats for, Lord, that you care for people in other parts of the world so much to prepare for yourself a people that would be sent out to reach them on your behalf. And God, so I pray that as many of us may leave here with a real contemplation of where you would have us fit in resembling or in displaying this heart for the world, Lord. Would you give us conviction about how we need to be a part of this, how we need to engage in this, and ultimately just convict us of that, Lord. We pray this in your holy, holy name. Amen.